Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. It is very good to be together with you again today, and at the start, I just want to insert this reminder of what we are doing here on God Is. In the Bible, we find ourselves very near the end of Genesis chapter 2. The second to last verse is verse 24, which reads, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." This is clearly a verse about marriage. From the Word of God, we drew out this definition of marriage. Marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. We've talked about this and come to see that, practically speaking, this does not match many people's experience, and even Christian people's experience. And this brings us to four questions. The first one we have asked and answered earlier this week regarding having a one-lifetime marriage. What about when a spouse dies and the living spouse still has life to live? Biblically, can a widow or a widower be remarried? And then we came to question number two, raised in light of having a one-lifetime marriage. What about when someone gets married before they become a Christian, but their conversion radically changes how they behave in marriage, and their spouse does not convert and leaves the marriage? What then? Can the abandoned Christian spouse do something? Can he or she, for example, remarry a Christian? How does the expectation for a one-lifetime marriage apply in this case? And we have taken up the case of Chris and Sarah. Chris is a Christian, and that has cost him his marriage, as Sarah left him and then filed for divorce on the grounds that she did not like the changes that had transformed Chris's life since he began to follow Jesus. The question is, in due time, can Chris remarry? Can he be married a second time to a Christian woman who would also come to Chris either never having been married or divorced on biblical grounds? To answer this, we have turned all the way over in our Bibles to the New Testament letter of 1 Corinthians and chapter 7, and I am sharing with you seven insights that once learned will answer this question. We talked about the first one yesterday. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus spoke to Jewish culture in which divorce and remarriage were rampant. In 1 Corinthians, Paul spoke to Gentile, to Greco-Roman culture in which divorce and remarriage were also rampant. That is widespread and very, very common. And Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul will stress the same truth regarding God's view of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Now let's come to the content of what they said, of what this truth is, with our second insight. Here it is. Paul repeats Jesus, "Divorce and remarriage is always sinful and prohibited by God, with a few exceptions." Divorce and remarriage is always sinful and prohibited by God, with few exceptions. We have had the first exception, death of spouse. And we will have an exception here, abandonment of spouse. And then we will have the exception of unrepentant adultery still ahead in our discussion. But beyond these few exceptions, marriage, one man as one flesh with one woman, is to last one lifetime. Listen now to the apostle as I read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. "But to the married I give instructions, not I, but the Lord, that the wife is not to leave her husband. But if she does leave, she must remain unmarried, or else be reconciled to her husband, and that the husband is not to divorce his wife." That was 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11. Do you hear how Paul emphasizes the Lord? Not I, but the Lord. Meaning Jesus has already made this clear in his ministry. Jesus has made what clear? That the wife is not to leave her husband, and the husband is not to leave his wife. The wife is not to divorce her husband, and the husband is not to divorce his wife. They are to remain married. Even when there is a marital separation, there is to be made every effort to reconcile and remain married. Divorce is ruled out. And you might remember that in our example of Chris and Sarah, Chris did make every effort to remain married to Sarah. He attempted to reconcile Sarah's strong feelings with his own spiritual convictions so they could remain husband and wife. But Sarah left the marriage. She filed for divorce. So what the Bible says has real-life implications for people in marriage. And what the Apostle Paul says is in keeping with what Jesus commanded. Regarding what Jesus taught, we're coming to this in detail when we answer our next question on divorce and remarriage. When we get there, we will take all of Matthew 19, 1 through 11, and discuss it. Here I will only quote Matthew 19, 5 and 6. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, no person is to separate. And this must remind us of the focus of our study in Genesis 2:24, which Jesus quotes here. Again, Genesis 2:24. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Notice how the Lord emphasizes that what God has joined together, no person is to separate. Genesis 2:24 is quoted to affirm that marriage is one man as one flesh with one woman for one lifetime. Paul repeats Jesus. Divorce and remarriage is always sinful and prohibited by God, with few exceptions. And if you have some time after we're finished today, read also Jesus in Matthew 5, verses 31 through 32. That is Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. I wanted to use this second insight to show in the scriptures how consistent the teaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is within the Bible between our Lord and his apostle. And now we can move on to our third insight. Third, Paul addresses a scenario that Jesus did not address, and that is Christians like Chris, married to a spouse who is not a Christian. Like Sarah, how should their marriage last a lifetime? Well, Paul answers this in the next verse, 1 Corinthians 7:12. In 1 Corinthians, I am moving on from verse 11 to verse 12. But to the rest I say, not the Lord, that if any brother has an unbelieving wife and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. Making application, the apostle says this to Chris, you are to remain married to Sarah as long as Sarah consents to live with you. Or, if you're tuning in and you are a Christian married to someone who is not a Christian and may in fact be very far from the Lord, the answer for you is remain married to your spouse as long as your spouse consents to remain married and to live with you. Notice again the wording here in verse 12. Paul writes, I say, not the Lord. This only means Jesus did not address this specific scenario in Jesus' earthly ministry. Paul is not saying the Lord does not support, by way of inspiration, what Paul is writing to the Corinthians, or that Paul is merely writing human opinion. No. God had not yet revealed his divine opinion, the only opinion that matters, up until now, the time when Paul wrote this to the Corinthians. Do you see how practical the Bible is? In his word, God makes certain to cover the scenario many Christians face today. Marriages to a spouse who is not a believer in Jesus. Paul says, to the rest, that is, those not covered under verses 10 and 11. What Paul wrote in verses 10 and 11 applies to when a Christian is married to another Christian. But what Paul writes in verse 12 applies to when a Christian is married to a non-Christian, when a believer is married to an unbeliever, which is the case with our friend Chris and Sarah. And maybe it is the case with you and your husband, or you and your wife. This leads us right into our fourth insight, into 1 Corinthians chapter 7, truth that is applicable. Even when a believer is married to an unbeliever, as long as the unbeliever consents to remain married, the believer cannot divorce. As one author put this, quote, spiritual differences alone are not a reason to end a marriage. I'll say that again. Scriptural differences alone are not a reason to end a marriage. Unquote. To make sure we've got this, listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. If any brother has an unbelieving wife, and she consents to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if any woman has an unbelieving husband, and he consents to live with her, she must not divorce her husband. This is very clear. So in the case of Chris and Sarah, Chris must not initiate divorce from Sarah. The Christian spouse is bound to the marriage when a non-Christian spouse consents to live with him or her. Now, this is insight number four. Please join us tomorrow as we move on to our final insights in 1 Corinthians, right here on God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.